My name is Damon, and I am an alcoholic. And for me, what that means is alcohol is not my problem. I want to start out with a little poll. Anybody here ever had a problem with twisted relationships? Please raise your hand. I don't see very many hands raised out there. Anybody have any trouble with honesty? Okay, there we go. All right. So I've been asked, I've spoke here, I guess it was last year sometime, but I've been asked to relate something that's become very dear to me in this program, and that is about taking the traditions and living them in my life. So I want to relate my story, but specifically relate it as it relates to the promises, to the traditions. And Bill says in the... wrote in the 12 and 12 in the foreword. He said AA's 12 steps are a group of principles, spiritual in their nature, which if practiced as a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink and enable the sufferer to become happily and usefully whole. Anybody like the idea of becoming happily and usefully whole?
Yeah.
You know, to go from being a user for being useful. I used up relationships. I used up job opportunities. I used up, you know, people. Anybody ever tell you you had a lot of potential if you only applied yourself? All right, I'm in a room full of fellows here. It says AA's 12 traditions apply to the life of the fellowship itself. They outline the means by which AA maintains its unity. That's the key. That's the goal. That's the golden, you know, coin at the end of the that maintains its unity, okay, and relates itself to the world about it, the way it lives and grows. And when I put me in there, it says that AA's traditions, they outline the means by which I maintain my unity and the way I relate myself to the world about me and the way I live and grow. Now, the 12 steps are essential for me in so many ways in terms of really preparing myself in recovery and being able to, again, live with myself. And I heard a Meister Eckhart in the 1200s wrote that spiritual growth is largely a process of subtraction rather than addition. Okay? So hopefully there's nothing new I'm going to tell you tonight. I don't think there is, really. For me, I can tell you what these things have meant to me. When I came in here, I was an atheist. I was not only convinced there was no God, I was convinced I could convince you there was no God. I had studied Eastern history and philosophy, had a degree. They say rectal thermometers also have degrees. So I had a degree. But it turns out that I was like a guy who went to the fancy restaurant, ordered the filet mignon, and ate the menu. I had read a lot of words on a lot of white pages and black letters, but I'd never had the experience, the spiritual experience, in which to make it all make sense. And then when I did begin to have the spiritual experience, when I became into the program and I began to feel this, I started saying, well, is this the God of my Pentecostal parents? Is this the Tao Te Ching? Is this the Buddha? Is this enlightenment? You know, what is this? And then I realized I was trying to put God in a box. And I thought, how big a box would it take to hold God? I mean, how many attributes does he have? And I realized, all of them. What does it say in the big book? God is everything or is nothing. What was your choice to be? Just briefly about my history. I was born in Georgia Baptist Hospital, 1955. I really came from a very nice, loving family. I have no excuse for being an alcoholic, except I'm an alcoholic. You know, I don't think it's because, you know, my mama potty trained me wrong or did anything like that. I think that what happened, and for me, I sniffed glue when I was 8. My sister turned me on to marijuana when I was 10 as a step up. I drank, you know, I drank to get drunk when I was 12. Now, I was a child of the 60s. Any other children of the 60s around there? And they say, hey, bye. They say if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. You know? But I went down to the strip and down on 10th Street. You know, I remember selling marijuana cigarettes rolled up for $1 a piece and listening to all these great bands playing in the park back then and all that. But you see, for me, the other thing I did is at 6 years old, I had to pull your pants down club with the girl down the street, and we were the only two members. So throughout a lot of my life, there was a lot of pleasure by sneaking around. Did anybody else get pleasure by sneaking around? You know, the idea that if I could get away with it, then it was cool. You know, it was a lot of fun. Snuck out of the house, you know, and over in the neighborhood, over off Cherrill Mill Road, when we moved up from East Point up to here in 63. And went to I had trouble at the local Cobb County school system, and they took me to a child psychologist and said I was bored. So my parents, who couldn't really afford it, sent me to a private school, Pace Academy, down on West Paces Ferry Road. And by the way, there is a reunion going on right now. And I had told him I would be there, but when Thomas asked me to be here, I said, this is where I need to be, you know. And I was there with some of my earliest resentments. Because, you see, I was kind of the outcast there. I was the guy from the country. And also, I was kind of a goofy kid. Anybody else been a goofy kid? You know, so I didn't always respond appropriately, you know, to life situations. But now it's funny because up in my neighborhood, I was kind of one of the early ones that moved up there, and so I was kind of the ringleader up there, you know. And when we start talking about the fifth step and into action, Bill says that, you know, the alcoholic leads a double life, you know, and I was leading a double life at that time. And I got kicked out of that school. I did not graduate with that class because I was caught smoking a cigarette in my car in the parking lot. And they said that I wasn't good for the school, which my parents kind of said, we're paying a lot of money for the school to be good to him, but, you know. But I'll tell you, I swore at that time, you know, that I was going to amount to something, you know. And later on, I did apply myself. I actually stopped the smoking the weed, and I pulled away from the circle. Most all the friends went with it. There were a couple of people who didn't, you know. And then somebody asked me at 15, they asked me, is it a coincidence you're a Christian in a Christian country? If it's the truth of the universe, why does it matter where you're born? In other words, if I was born in Saudi Arabia, I would be Islam. If I was born in India, I could be Sikh or Hindu or Buddhist. So what is this truth, you know? In fact, when I came up here, I was talking to Jim. Jim said, tell the truth. And I go, what the hell is that? You know? You know? That's a lot about what this is about. It's trying to find, you know, what wasn't. And I think so many of the folks who come into AA and stay here are seekers. You know? I think it's the kind of alcoholic who are seekers that somehow this program attracts. Because God knows, you know, you're talking about out of 100 alcoholics, 10 will seriously try the program and 3 will die sober. You know, this thing is not a nosebleed. You know, and there's so many more who don't make it in here than do. And I'll tell you what I found out is I can't take credit for me getting this thing. Because one of the great things I realized in here was that there's a word in the big book that at first I thought was a mistake, and it's called creator. And I realized that I didn't create me. Regardless of whatever the belief is, I couldn't have created me. How many ancestors do you have? Just biologically, we could go on and on. If it's 4,000 years old, I got 4,000 years. If it's 3.5 billion years, I got 3.5 billion years of it. But I didn't create me. I didn't pick my parents. I cannot take credit for anything I am. Everything I am is a gift. Everything I am is a gift. And pride has no purchase in that soil. So when I can really and honestly just find out that I can be grateful for the way I was put together, who my parents were, the fact that I have life at all, Then all of a sudden I realized the power of that word creator. In fact, that word creator came into play in the United States Supreme Court in 1999. They ruled that for the purposes of the federal prison system, AA is a religion. And they cannot order someone to go to AA. They have to give them an alternative that's secular. Because otherwise, and it's a very interesting case. But I can see, and you know, this is what's really amazing about this program. This is amazing about the traditions. AA's opinion on that was nothing. Their very standing as an organization in light of the federal prison system and the federal system was up in the Supreme Court. Can you imagine any other organization that would have no opinion? It's amazing. What we've connected up with here is amazing. And now I'm going to start looking. Let me tell you, my wife, I met her when I was going to school in Colorado. You know, it was one of these things I applied myself. When I lived downtown Atlanta from 17 years old, and I worked at a Blue Cross Blue Shield in the mailroom. And I was around there, and I kind of got the idea, you know, these people are working there. You know, they might not have a bad idea about getting an education. And my parents were going to supply the education, so I moved down to Alabama and went to school there and really was not drinking alcoholically. And really pretty much through the 80s, I was not drinking alcoholically. I would begin to feel it and just want to quit. Now, I'm a guy who did all that, met my wife up there. We're now 35 years we've been married. I like the guy who said we never decided to divorce each other at the same time. The other thing that happened is before we got married, and I can't take credit for this either, we both said that divorce is no option. Now, I'm not saying anything to anybody that's been divorced. I'm just saying that it's just been very fortunate that for me that we had that attitude. And the other thing is she's stubborn. She's stubborn. And I think that's a great quality. Otherwise, we'd be divorced by now. But you see, what happened is she wanted to move back here because she just loves the greenery and everything. And we moved back here. And I started finishing up my undergraduate degree in history and wound up going to Georgia State. And I was going to do international business, but it was near the marketing department. Life, you know, just go. And the next thing you know, I'm in the marketing department and I took two computer courses. And it turns out that having a degree in history is an excellent background for doing computers because all they are is the history of something you're doing. A program is literally a history. And they have connections and concepts, and I just fell right into it. So I wound up getting a job, and I wound up shifting my degree, and I got a job working with Equifax and 12 years with them, you know. And things were going. I was going up the corporate ladder. But let me tell you, this idea, the first tradition, is that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. My own recovery depends upon how connected I am with everyone around me. And I started feeling disconnected. And it started with my negative opinions. I had negative opinions about my wife. She wasn't going to be the corporate executive. She collects species. I think I'm the first one she collected. We've got goats, we've got chickens, we've got cockatiels, we've got an alpaca. I love the alpaca. He's a hoot. But you know, and it's now delightful. At that time, though, it was a burden to me. See, and I was telling myself a story that disconnected me from her. You know? And now, you know, I don't feel that we've had my son was born in 1984, my daughter in 1989. But then I had a guy who worked for me, and he was went to a bachelor party, and they went to a belly dancing thing, and then they went to a strip joint. And that was a pull-your-pants-down club where they that brought back some old memories, you know. And I said, well, I'm not getting this at home, you know. And then I started going, and I went to a massage place, I thought it was. It turned out to be, you know, full service, and I took them up on it. And what this was the rationalization. Now, we're great at rationalizing and justifying, right? I said, in China and Japan, they have concubines. And that's the woman, you know, and the wife knows about everything. It's to relieve the pressure off the wife, you know. Well, this, you know, I wasn't in China or Japan, you know. And my wife wasn't Chinese or Japanese, and of course I wasn't going to tell her my plan. you know? Well, I think what happened is Mama raised me better than that. You know, today I'm very grateful. I want to tell you this. I'm very, very grateful for my ability to feel guilty. I don't think I would have been able to get sober without it. I think it's that inner compass, you know, that tells me when I'm pointed in the wrong direction. And I was trying, and I would drink it. I would, on occasions, I'd wake up in the morning and I would have that moment of clarity and I would know exactly what I was doing. And you know what I would do first? Grab for the bottle. Drown that thing out. I wound up getting a job with Hewlett-Packard. I was really doing very, very well, but it's a 24/7 operation. We were running a data center. I was building them out, doing all this other stuff. And on the side, I'm drinking more, you know, until in 2001, I got put on probation because one of the customers smelled that booze on around their $1 million worth of equipment, and they didn't, and I lied about it, but then I quit drinking. In April of 2001, I quit drinking, and I stayed quit until August. They fired everybody who was on probation, and I was about to be taken off of probation because I was putting on the afterburners. You know how we can do that, right? You know, we get off the booze for a little while, we get motivated, we turn it on, and I said, I'm going to come back here a millionaire. Today, I'm a millionaire many times over in an entirely different currency. See, because I never wanted I didn't want the car. I wanted the way I thought I would feel when I got the car. I didn't want the job, I wanted the way I thought I would feel when I got the job. And was it ever enough? See, so much of this disease is not enough, right? My wife was not enough. And now today I can say that this one person called it the gift of shift. Today I'm swimming in abundance. There's so much to do in every day to explore this amazing thing called life. And today there is only one thing I truly know, and that is I am. I love, there was this Chinese monk, and he dreamed he was a butterfly. He woke up the next morning, and he wondered, how do I know I'm not a butterfly dreaming I'm a monk? And it becomes astonishingly difficult to prove that. So here's what it is. I'm a bundle of opinions. You know, when I first found out that my opinions were not facts, that was startling. Now when I find out that all my facts are opinions, all of a sudden that becomes a great relief. Okay? Because I don't have to be so damn certain about everything. And I can change my mind. I can change the story I'm telling myself about what's going on such that it adds to the quality of your life, not mine. I need to stop adding to the quality of my life. I'm not very good at it. But I've been able to, in this program, to add to the quality of other people's lives. And I've always gotten quality by reflection in ways that I could not even predict. So ultimately, this thing, you see all the disconnectedness? The goal behind all of these traditions is unity. I don't think there's any creature more isolated and lonely than an alcoholic in his cups. Has anybody been there? Anybody battled with the white ceiling at night trying to go to sleep, trying not to drink? Or you sit there and these people are thinking this about me. And if this person says this to me, then I'll say that to them. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Separation. Chuck Chamberlain said, there is only one problem that includes all problems, and that is conscious separation from. Now you can fill in the blank. You know, that's a dangling participle. You're supposed to have something else left. Just go fill in the blank. Conscious separation from. And the answer is, to me, is find out a way to connect with anybody. In the 12 and 12, in the first page of the eighth step, on page 77, which, by the way, is also in the big book, the page where Bill tells us our real purpose. I think that's pretty cool. But he says, learning how to live in the greatest peace, partnership, and brotherhood with all men and women of whatever description is a moving and fascinating adventure. Instead of getting what I want is
the meaning of life. Arranging life to suit myself so then I'll be happy and I'll have enough. Bill's not saying that. He's saying learning, not actually doing it, just the learning part of it, learning how to live. How? How to live in the greatest peace, partnership, and brotherhood with all men and women of whatever description. And who's describing them? Me. It's my descriptions of you that will separate me from you. It's my stories I'm telling myself about what you're thinking about me that will separate me from you. Not, and this is the neat deal. What you're thinking about me right now is unknowable. It's not that it's unimportant. It's just unknowable. What I'm thinking about you, I can do something about that. So this becomes, then it is, truly a moving and fascinating adventure. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. I heard it said that our leaders are but twisted servants, they do not govern. I kind of like that one too. You know. Now how do I apply this in my life? For this group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God. I think God is the power behind the principles. You know, when I do these things, I tap into a power that takes care of stuff in the most amazing way, an unexpected way. I'm finding out, though, that I don't care if things don't work out the way I planned as long as the results are beyond my wildest dreams. And that's what's happened here. So when in these relationships, I need to realize that the principles and the power behind those principles is the ultimate authority. So I don't have an authority to override the principles. And I found out that there are two for me, as I've explored them, that work very well and make it easier for me to kind of take it's really a test for what I'm about to do. And that is if I can do it with kindness and integrity. Now, those are a little bit tricky, because kindness turns out to be from the root word kin, which means family, which means I need to treat each and every person around me as part of me. It's sort of like this idea, what's the difference between two cells in my body, my heart, my lungs, and you and me? It's this arbitrary thing, but I didn't invent the English language. I didn't invent these principles or these concepts. The illusion that we are separate is one of the classic, you know, failings in my life, is to see myself as separate. So everything I need to do is to get connected. See, I had, though, all these mechanisms. I got a 4-year-old grandson, and he's got little mechanisms and little habits he's developing because he gets what he wants when he screams and yells. But I'll tell you what else he gets. He gets treated like a 4-year-old, you know? And so I have these old habits and ways of responding that were developed, you know, and had some use at some time. But I love the question, a great question for an alcoholic is, what would a grown-up do? You know, and sometimes I have to ask myself that. You know, here I was at 40-something years old. I was smoking cigarettes for 8 to 10 years. My wife didn't even know it. I'm hanging out the bathroom window when it's raining. You know? And what's one of our greatest troubles when we're drinking is hiding the bottles. You know, what would a grown-up do? But this deal is, the ultimate authority behind all the things I'm going to do is not me, you know, but it's getting connected up with this power I don't understand. Today I've retired as an atheist. It got to be way too much work to explain what was going on. And I got too old for it. So that's a very good time to retire. For instance, first meeting I actually went to in Cobb County, first guy to my right raised his hand, and they said, you need a sponsor. Well, I've been to school. You got a syllabus, and you got to check off all these little things. And, you know, so I said, okay, here. And this guy hauled dirt for a living. I built out data centers. And we got out to the parking lot. He said, do you believe in God? I said, nope. He said, how about a power greater than yourself? I said, don't think so. He said, wait, let me get this straight. You're the most powerful thing in the universe? And I had to think about that.
You know? And I went, well, I guess not. And he said, well, at least there's hope, you know? And he said, I only know one way to do this, and that's to teach you by the book, because that's the way I learned it. Thank God. The answer is in the book. It's there, and it's in our literature. But then when I start looking back at all those other books I read, they all start making sense. Thank God. Well, anyway, my sobriety date is August the 10th of 2004. It was August the 12th of 2004, after a couple of days of trying to kick on my own, because I wasn't going to AA because there was God stuff in there. And I had my 1 hour of sleep, and all of a sudden I woke up, and I had that moment of clarity, and I didn't drink over it. And I said the three-word prayer of an atheist, and I said, I need help. It tells us in the book we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholic. That is the first step in recovery. So this guy raises his hand, and he takes me through the book. I got exactly what I asked for. And I got what I needed. Well, by November of 2005, he calls me up and he says, I'm having a heart attack. So don't need to come over. I've got the ambulance coming up. But you know that guy you've been working with that you started sponsoring? He said, you know, I've been thinking about it. Maybe you need to work with him along this line. Here the guy is with an ambulance coming. I mean, this guy's on the ball, you know. Well, anyway, I told my son about this. And he went back to his apartment, and his roommate came out and said, my dad just had a heart attack. What's his name? Steve Davis. Turns out my son and his son were roommates, and we didn't know it. It gets a little hard after a while to be an atheist. Because something else I found out about being an atheist is you cannot prove a negative. Logic says you can't prove a negative. You cannot prove that all blackbirds are black. You can't prove that, because you'd have to get all the black. It's just logic. It's one of the tenets of the concept of logic. You can't prove a negative. So I can't prove the non-existence of something. But I'll tell you what, I've had this thing now today where I move in the presence of something I don't understand. I remember I was working on a computer program that had 30,000 lines of code in it, and a fly landed on my monitor. And it suddenly struck me that fly was closer to understanding that program than I was to understanding God or the fly. If anybody else had these little moments of clarity, it was sort of like, you know, sometimes it takes my breath away, these things. It is, you know? And that's so neat today. I don't need to understand God. It'd be way too small. But I'll tell you this, I love prayers of acknowledgement. I started saying the Lord's Prayer differently because it sounded sort of like a, hey, big guy, take a knee kind of prayer. You know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, lead us not into temptation. I said, you know, all I have to do really is just put the word you in there. It works, you know. You lead us not into temptation. You know, you give us this day our daily bread. And it became sort of a prayer of acknowledgement. And then I heard Chuck Chamberlain again, he was talking about a guy who spoke Aramaic and wrote his own version of the Bible. He said, that's what the original verse said. You give us this day our daily bread. See, I began to trust the inner voice that's telling me, you know, this is that inner guide, that thing where the guilt exists, is also a direction that can teach me which way to go. And I kind of went, when Chuck did that, I went, yeah, you know. But it's so true. And for me, it is about prayers of acknowledgement. I think maybe one of the greatest prayers I could say is just, hi. You know? Because if God's everything or is nothing, then every bit of creation is God, and everything I'm looking at right now is God. As I'm looking at you, I'm saying hi to God. You know? And it's also more than I can see. The things that are beyond my sight, beyond my capability of my senses, and much, much more beyond that. Third, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. What if I didn't have any rules for friendship? Thomas, you and I have done a lot together.
We've gone a lot of places. Thomas introduced me to Clancy. He also introduced me to Sandy Beach. Thomas knows a lot of stuff about this area around here. Thomas has taught me a lot about me. You know? And we make sort of a goofy pair going around, you know? But he is truly my friend in so many ways. And I find out that I could have had rules for friendship, or I would have missed out on some of the greatest friends I have today. And what if I can live without any rules? You know, on what you're supposed to do. For me, I'm going to do kindness and integrity. And I find out that I've yet to meet a truly evil person. I've met some lost souls. But Jim, we go over to the jail, and we've seen a lot of people come through there and see them come back around again. One guy was in there 42 times. 42 times. And they got him downstate now. They said, this is getting old. But I don't know what's different about them and me. I cannot take any credit for that. This thing is a gift. And I think I need to cherish it. When I've gotten it, it's just a gift. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. I need to let my wife be autonomous. That means self-governing. I can be self-governing in the sense that what I think for God's will for me today is not a what. It's a how. I have in front of me an infinite number of directions, an infinite number of directions I can go. Because life is analog. It's not digital. There's an infinite number of speeds from 0 to 60. I can make all these little changes in my life. Now, let's say that I've got an infinite number of directions I can go. Now, I'm not going to do the ones that I can't do with kindness and integrity. You can't rob a bank with kindness and integrity. I can't gossip about you behind your back with kindness and integrity. So I'm going to cut that out. So let's say that's half. All right? Anybody good at math here? What's half of infinity?
Wow.
It's infinity. So I have an infinite number of directions I can go, all of which I can do with kindness and integrity, and every single one of them will result in a favorable outcome. Has this life limited me at all? Or has it empowered me? And not to get what I want, but to be the kind of person I was put together to be. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. I'm over there at the high school reunion, and they don't know what I'm doing over here. But I can carry the message of responding appropriately to life. I can carry the message of living in the presence of a power I don't understand, and I don't have to say a word. People ask me, what's going on? What is this thing? I said, I don't know. I found out my mentors in this program, I don't think you can learn how to catch a forward pass in the NFL by sitting on a couch and watching. I think you have to get out on the field with people who have been in game day situations and do that. And I think that's what service does. I get down into Macon. I'm down there with 550 people who come from all four corners of Georgia because they think that's a neat idea. And let me tell you what, you can get this program by osmosis. You get around those kinds of people that live that way, that get involved in service, that are there and understand what altruism really means, which is doing for you without any expectation of anything in return from you. Well, I'm going to get return, it's going to come in wonderful ways I can't anticipate. But they get it. And you know what happens when I go down there year after year after year? I see the same people. I go to the jail, I see the same people too. But I see the same volunteers coming year after year too. You try and yank a jail volunteer out of their position. It's a difficult thing to do. We go to the meetings down in Macon, and the corrections people, we're there at 11:30. They're kicking us out of the rooms. You know. Cat Stevens said it once in a song. He said, "I can't keep it in. Can't keep it in. I gotta let it out. I gotta show the world. World's gotta see." See all the love that's in this. Said, why walk alone? Why worry when it's warm over here? You got so much to say. Say what you mean. Mean what you're thinking and think anything. Doesn't that nail our program right there? Doesn't it really say that? I tell you, I like what Sandy Beach said. He said, when somebody really gets a spiritual awakening, you just try and stop them from, carrying this message. Just try and stop them. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. You know, when I got fired from that job, I had lent my name to that company. Part of who I was ripped out. I was this big HP, guy who was running data centers and doing all this, and the next moment I was unemployed. And I remember driving down 285 and turning that corner on 75 North and just going, that moment of clarity. And guess what? And I didn't drink. I didn't drink until 9/11 hit. 9/11 hit, I was over in Birmingham, and I knew that everything had changed in my industry. So many things had changed. That was my opinion. See how my opinion gets me again. And I held out for two more days, and my sister and brother-in-law went over to a little German club. And I said, no, I'm going to stay here and work on this program thing I've been working on. And the blackjack started calling my name. Isn't it amazing how we always know where the booze is, in the house? And I was just going to have one. Now, I wound up having more than one, but I didn't drink the whole bottle because I like pleasure by sneaking around and I didn't want to get caught. But the next morning I was at the liquor store that opened, I thought at 9 o'clock it opened at 9:30. And I waited. Today I know that if I keep doing this thing, I will never, ever have to be that person waiting for the liquor store to open. Who is the master? Booze was my master, and it was after 6 months of not drinking. I'm absolutely convinced that the difference is that when I take a drink, I become a different person. That's why I'm powerless over alcohol, because I can no more say what that guy's going to do than I can say what you're going to do if you took a drink. See, so much, Bill uses the word convinced several times right after the ABCs, and so much of this program isn't just getting convinced, but it's staying convinced. And I stay convinced going to that jail. I stay convinced working one-on-one with alcoholics who are still suffering. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. What a concept, being fully self-supporting, not only monetarily, but emotionally. My happiness is not contingent upon what my wife does or my kids or the world or anything else, because I can change the entire world by changing my opinion about what's going on. I look at the two guys, guys who flew the planes into the Twin Towers, and I go, these people had to be in a lot of pain. This is me just saying, I want to be at peace. Sandy Beach also says it. He says it great. He says there's a new game in town. The least disturbed wins. Because when I get disturbed, I become of very little use to the people around me. I used to think being disturbed got things done. But really what happens is I get treated like a baby again. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. When you go to a professional, I expect the professional to fix me. That's the idea. And that's one of the differences between AA and psychiatry, that I expect that I'm going to pay the psychiatrist and they're going to fix me. They're responsible for my outcomes. And also about being an expert. What's beautiful about this program, I'm only sharing my experience. I have no idea really whether this applies to you or not. What we do here is we share our experience. I'm telling you how I live these traditions in my life and what my outcome has been. I have no idea whether you're going to get the same results or not. Okay? I love what Father Joseph Martin said. He said, the best advice I can give you is don't give any advice. I've had people actually take my advice and they can't tell you everything that's going on that you'd need to know to actually give the advice. My kids will call me up and say, Dad, I know you don't give any advice, but... And I'll go, well, in a similar situation, I did this, and this is what I got. And I found out they really appreciate that, because I'm not telling them what to do, because I don't know enough. Bill really says it at the end, we realize we know only a little. AA as such ought never be organized. You know, there's literature we have in the cabinets that's over there, and it's very organized, and that's perfect because that's not AA as such. See, that is the AA organization, the GSO in New York. That is what we do down in Macon. That needs to be organized. As such is one alcoholic talking to another. As such is this big room. The little piece over there we need to organize. The big part about here, I don't need to be organized in my life. I don't need to organize my wife. I don't need to organize my kids. I don't need to organize everybody around me so that then I'll be happy. What's the idea of the organization? So that then I'll be happy. And that's the great illusion because it was never enough. What I have to do is realize that I'm in a constant state of arrival. Hey, I just got here. Hey, I just got here again. What has really changed for me is my relationship to time. I'm a history major, remember, and I used to think there was a back there. There is no back there. What's real? Okay, if it's now, it's real. If it's not now, it's not real. So what's now about the past? My wife, if she's thinking about my past right now, that's part of my past. If those folks over there are talking about me over at the high school reunion and they're talking about my past, that's part of my past. But it's a collective consciousness about my past that's happening right here, right now, and I can't control it, but I can influence it. And I tell you how I influence is how I treat you right now. How I treat you right now changes. The only thing that's real about my past, my family looks at my past differently. The members of AA look at my past differently now because of how I behave today. It's the only thing that's real about my past is the thing that's going on right now about people's attitudes and the stories they're telling about my past. I can't control it. But I found out by doing the things that I'm doing, one of the side benefits of this is my past changes in the very way that makes it, that gives it any power at all, and that's how people treat me. So there is no back there. What about the future? Well, there's a collection of expectations. I am a grandfather. I am the father. I actually manage the family funds. And I am a resource for my family. So I do need to plan. I do need to do, but I don't get attached. My well-being is not attached to those outcomes. But I do, as a responsible planner, I do those things. And I can do them at peace. And I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest, and Chuck Chamberlain is quoted, he's not by name, but in the 552 in the back says, the only true freedom a human being can ever know is doing what you ought to do because you want to do it. And it's freedom. It's true freedom. This is the one that kicked it off for me. Number 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. The fewer opinions I have on outside issues, the less I get drawn into controversy. What started it all off? My opinions about my wife. My opinions about you. My opinions about the job. And I used to sit there and watch Iraq wars and all of this, and I had all these grand opinions on strategy. I've never been in the military, I'm not over there, and I knew exactly what they should be doing to solve the whole thing. I mean, childish grandiosity. That's what Bill said that the psychiatrist said about us, and childish grandiosity. But I'll tell you what, I found out that I can change my opinions and change my life. And it all has to do with changing my opinion such that it adds to the quality of your life. How many of the different teachers taught us that? What did Jesus say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Change your opinion. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. I don't need to promote me. If I do these things the way they're outlined in this book, if I live by the steps, if I live by, not only do these things happen, but this is the easier, softer way to live. We couldn't find an easier, softer way because there isn't one. This is it. I've never had it easier. People say the steps are hard. I say, I like the guy who said that these things are like sex. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. You know? When it's this thing is done right, this is the easiest thing I've ever done. You know how hard it is to maintain a resentment? Keep that plate spinning, okay? How about this opinion over here? Got to keep justifying that one in the court of law, you know, a public opinion. And I got to keep this one spinning and that one. And I go to the jail meetings and I hear these guys and what they're trying to do to stay using all the time. Whew, man, it just wears me out. You listen to an alcoholic trying to stay in their cups, man, it is a lot of work. Compared to what I get to do is, oh, just change your opinion. What do you mean? I mean, what do you mean change my opinion? Yeah, change your opinion. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. It says, and finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our fellowship, you know, that I need to be able to practice a genuine humility. This to the end, that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us all. You know, there were two things that I wanted to know when I was a young kid. I wanted to know what my purpose was, and I wanted to know who I was. And this program has answered those for me. My real purpose, page 77 of the Big Book, and the biggest word in there is three letters. It's called FIT. I am to fit myself to be of maximum service. Not to be of maximum service, then I'm in an ego trip and I'm into your outcomes. But I'm to come here to get fit, just like going to the gym. Okay? So that I may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. This isn't something I have to do anymore. This is something I get to do. And I just encourage you to maybe sit down with a sponsor or sit down with a sponsee and look at these traditions not as something that just happens once a month in a room full of individuals sitting around a table, but as a way to change your relationships from twisted relationships to being able to learn how to live in the greatest peace, partnership, and brotherhood with all men and women of whatever description. Because it is truly a moving and fascinating adventure. Thank you for letting me share it.